turn our attention briefly to the Old Testament this evening, to the 14th chapter of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14. Hear now the reading of God's holy word. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that he shall come into the camp, and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day he shall shave all the hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows. All his hair shall he shave off, shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, he shall be clean. But on the eighth day he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and one log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering, and a log of oil, and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering, in a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy." Finish our reading of the Old Testament there. Please turn now to Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 for our passage this evening. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, continuing to verse 4. Jesus has just finished his Sermon on the Mount. "And when he had come down from the mountain," that is Jesus, "great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" And thus ends the reading of God's word. May you be pleased to write it on our hearts tonight. On Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, Jesus delivered his Sermon on the Mount. And in that sermon, he displayed an authority in his teaching. As the narrator concluded in verse 29 of the previous chapter, "The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." But not only did he come with authority and power in his words, but he also came with authority and power in his actions. And thus he demonstrates this in a series of healings that are before us, that come before us in this chapter alone. Healings that one has observed answers two questions: who is this Jesus, and how am I to respond to him? Well, we hope to focus on one of these healings this evening under the theme, "A Leper is Cleansed." And here we hope to consider Jesus' power and willingness to cleanse the unclean. Jesus' power and willingness to cleanse the unclean. And with God's help this evening, we'll consider this theme under three ideas: a needy leper, verses 1 and 2, a willing priest, verse 3, an ascending word, verse 4. First, a needy leper. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus attracted the crowds. Great multitudes followed him. Some think that as many as 1,000 or more followed after Jesus at this time. Perhaps many were following Jesus out of mere curiosity, in the sense that someone might track a new rising celebrity on the scene. Perhaps others who had been impressed with his teaching now followed after him, and perhaps even others were impressed with his miracles. For we know from chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. And verse 25 of that same chapter says, great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Jordan. So Jesus' ministry is attracting a lot of attention. And here we have already a consideration for ourselves. It is certainly true that where Christ is being proclaimed and taught, we should be there as well. But it is not enough to just be there, to be in the crowd, as it were. What is most important is to come to Jesus and not as an interested onlooker, peering in from the sidelines, as it were, but come to him as a needy petitioner. And that is the picture that we have before us this evening. A needy petitioner emerges from the crowds, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The first thing we would consider about this leper is his posture. And by posture, we don't necessarily limit ourselves just to his physical posture, but his spiritual posture. He doesn't come just as a casual observer to Jesus, but as a worshiper of Jesus. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord." He comes to Jesus empty. He comes to Jesus in need, and he comes to Jesus worshiping him, coming in adoration and respect, coming with reverence and homage. In parallel accounts of the Gospels, we know that he came kneeling down and even falling upon his face. The humility of his posture is equaled by the humility of how he addresses Jesus as Lord. Lord, by the time of Matthew, as one has observed, referred to Christ's divinity. He must have had at minimum a sense and knowledge of Christ's power over sickness, as we have just considered from the verses in chapter 4. And thus he approaches him as one at least seeing Jesus significantly greater than himself at minimum, if not confessing Jesus by his words that he is indeed God, that he is indeed divine. And even if this man was simply coming to Jesus in the manner of the day, as it were, coming to Jesus and approaching him in a ritualistic and polite manner, if you will, it's still a picture of the worship and the adoration and the reverence that is to come through all that is from all the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. A posture of reverential humility in worship. And the lesson's a real one for us. The question has to be asked, how do you approach Jesus? Do you set him apart in your hearts as altogether deserving adoration, reverence, and respect? Or do you approach Christ as a manner that you would approach perhaps a coworker with a list of action items that you need filled? This is the leper's posture. We also have, secondly, the leper's petition. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. A leper was the epitome of physical and ceremonial uncleanness in Israel. In the Old Testament, they were considered polluted people, to be put outside the camp, as it were, to live outside the community, the visible community of God's people. Leviticus 13:44 helps us understand this, where it says, "And the leper in whom the plague is," this is in the chapter previous to what we read earlier, "his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put on covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean." It's unclean. And Leviticus 13:46, a couple verses later, says, "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be." Well, sufficient for tonight is that for the most part, this was a disease that the physicians could not handle nor cure. In fact, it was understood, even at Israel at the time, this was equated to being able to raise someone from the dead, to be able to heal someone from leprosy. Lepers were simply left to God to see what he would do with their situation. Well, as one has observed, this leper had a great deal of audacity to be roaming around in the crowds, seeking out Jesus. The language of Matthew backs this up when it says, "And behold, a leper." Almost as if to say, what a striking moment this is. This leper in the crowds following Jesus, this outcast, this unclean person. But here's a lesson for us about faith. Faith drives us towards Jesus Christ. Faith drives us toward the Lord Jesus despite any obstacle that might come in our way, whether from society or whether from family or whether from friends. Faith seeks to find its way to Jesus Christ. And faith confesses that Jesus is the only way and hope for sinners, of which the leper is a picture. How this leper realized that Jesus was his only hope and help, we are not told. Perhaps he had heard something along the way concerning Jesus' miracles, as a passage from Matthew 4 we considered earlier indicates. What we do know is that he comes to the only one who can deal with his condition. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He doesn't know for certain whether Jesus is willing to make him clean, but that is regardless. It's aside from the point. He is certain of this, that Jesus can and is able to make him clean. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And here we observe two things for our benefit. First, the humility of the leper's petition. The words, "if you are willing," speaks to the issue of our coming to Christ as unworthy petitioners in hope of his mercy. In the words of Psalm 147:11, "The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is in his mercy." If we come to Jesus saying, "Here's what I have done for you. Here's what I need from you. I have given to an orphanage. I have helped the little old ladies with their clogged gutters in the fall. I have been kind to my neighbors. I have done a good work." you come to Jesus in this regard, you are not coming as a needy petitioner, but somebody expecting something from Jesus that you do not deserve. Rather, we must learn to receive from Christ his gifts, his blessings by grace. We must receive his gifts as unworthy sinners, not those having something to offer the Lord. Question is, could you join with the words that reformer Martin Luther spoke, who said that we need to learn this, to regard ourselves as unworthy and to be led to say, though I am not worthy of it, I accept it, being unworthy. And though I have not merited it, for I know nothing in myself by which I deserve it, yet will I take it as a gift. See the humility of the leper's petition, realizing that he is unworthy, and yet he goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly looking for a gift from him. But also we see a second thing that we could observe here, and that is the faith of the leper's petition. He comes to Jesus in faith. We don't have to have a complete knowledge of Christ's purposes in this world. Certainly God has not revealed everything that he intends to do to us. He has seen sufficient to reveal what we have in the scriptures and by the revelation of Christ's acts and works which are recorded therein. But the leper knows and is confident that Jesus has the power and ability to heal him. You can make me clean. That is what it means to fall before Christ in faith. It is to approach him in confidence on the basis of who he is. The leper knew that Christ possessed all that he needed, and that it would come to him, the blessings and the gifts of Christ would come to him on the turn of his words, I will. Each one of us must come to the point that this leper came, to this point of discerning our need and Christ's sufficiency. The leper's condition was an outworking of sin, not necessarily his sin per se. Doesn't tell us in the scriptures that he did something to contract leprosy, but it is an outworking of sin nonetheless. And whether your skin is just fine tonight, you must come to recognize that within yourself is this incurable, spreading, and loathsome condition of sin, a condition that is dealt with only at the feet of Jesus Christ. A leper knew his condition. And he knew of Christ, and that was enough. Those two points of knowledge must be your knowledge, not just intellectually, but by your experience. The question is, have you recognized your condition? Do you know your condition? Not in light of the laws of leprosy, but in the light of the laws of God, by which none of us is okay, apart from the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ that comes to those who petition him by faith. Do you know your condition? The word says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Have you come to have something of a sense and experience of your depravity and your sin? But also, do you know the sufficiency of the Savior? Do you see that your need finds its accomplishment and its remedy in him alone? Even if you're along the path tonight of being a Christian for many years, do you not see the need for daily cleansing from the pollution, from the defilement that we pick up in trafficking in this world and dealing with the world, the flesh, and the devil? Do you think that the church is beyond the need for cleansing? Well, we simply only need to open our Bibles, perhaps go to the churches, the seven churches in Asia, and read about a few of those churches that had lost their way and were in need of great cleansing from the Lord Jesus Christ and severely backslidden from him. Oh, we must confess that we are in need of Christ. We are in need of Christ's cleansing, every single one of us. No one can wash us from sin but Christ. And no one can cleanse us from sin. Nothing we do can cleanse us from sin but Jesus Christ. If you are willing, you can make me clean, is the cry of faith. Now, we said earlier that the leper knew his condition, but he wasn't necessarily confident, as we can see from his words, of what Jesus would do with his condition. Was Christ willing? This is the crux of the question for many of you tonight. You may say to yourself, I know he is able to deal with my sin. I know that he has come to deal with my sin, but is he willing to deal with my sin? It's common knowledge for us that we don't just need notions of what the Lord has done in Jesus Christ, but we need to receive him personally as Lord and Savior. And that's a whole other story. That is the story of faith of which we've been speaking. But this is the crux of the question. Is he willing to do so? And here we have in our text this evening a beautiful picture of Christ's dealings with sinners in his dealing with this leper. Our second consideration, a willing priest, verse 3. And Jesus not only, as we see, performs the work of an Old Testament priest in this section, but he powerfully and divinely excels in that office and willingly does so. We see this in two ways. First, Jesus' manner. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Some have noted that Jesus reaching out his hand to touch the leper is the center of a literary structure in this passage, which means that we are not to quickly pass by it, should not be quickly dismissed to the side. The point is that the magnitude of the moment is significant. Lepers were ceremonially and socially unclean. And Jesus bypasses these factors and these considerations to heal him. It's interesting that in chapter 13 of Leviticus, which are the laws of leprosy, it outlines for the children of Israel how the priest examined and how the priest considered and how the priest saw. But not until we see the laws of cleansing, after it appears that the leper is clean, do we find the priest ever touching the leper. Comes to be examined by the priest, and the priest will make his declarations concerning his condition. But Jesus doesn't merely examine this unclean leper, doesn't merely look upon him, but he chooses to touch him, which was unnecessary for Jesus to do. He could have easily healed him with a word. But in this case, he extends himself most personally and most intimately to the one who is suffering the effects of sin in a sinful context in which we dwell, particularly a condition that put him outside the camp, put him outside the communion of God's people. And so we see here that Christ becomes the preeminent priest, the final and eternal great high priest, yet not so high that he doesn't deal personally with each one of us. As with lepers, so with sinners. He extends himself to our sinful estate. He reaches all the way to our condition, even to those who are out of the way. As we see Jesus touch, and we see also something of his word, Jesus' word, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus couples with his touch, his promise, I am willing, and his powerful command, be cleansed. what was to this leper hope now became reality. What this leper knew to be possible, that he could heal, became certainty that he has indeed healed. Jesus shows us that he is unlike the priesthood of the Old Testament. There the priests examined and there the priests declared someone clean or unclean. But the power of God, the power of the God-man Jesus, works on another order altogether. He speaks and it is done. He acts and it is accomplished. I will, he says. These are the kind, gracious words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The words "I will" tell us of Jesus' willingness to deal with us, with our pollution. He may not give us all we ask concerning even the physical matters of our life in this world. He is indeed gracious. But we can know for certainty that he is bringing to pass all the spiritual good that he has ever promised for his people. And this we need to know on this side of glory with him, that his ability to help far exceeds your petition for help. You cannot exhaust the grace of God that is found in Jesus Christ for those who come humbly to him by faith. As you fly to Jesus by faith for mercy and grace, you can be certain that he freely desires and wills to give you mercy and grace. You say to yourself, I'm polluted. I'm certainly beyond the reach at this point. I am outside the camp, as it were. But we have Jesus here dealing hand to hand with polluted sinners. He shows himself exceedingly willing to receive the humble cry for help. And we see this more as we consider a passage from John chapter 6, verse 37 and following, where we find that Christ is one who does not turn aside those who come to him by faith. John writes in chapter 6, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. And with this leper, we have a picture, an expression of those words in reality. In verse 38 of chapter 6, that followed the passage we just considered, we are given a great reason attached to that promise. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who has sent me. And so we learn something, that Jesus' will is identified with the Father's will. So what is the Father's will? Well, the Father's will is this, verse 39 of chapter 6 in John. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. It is the Father's will that Christ should lose not one that the Father has given him for eternal life. And the question would be then, well, how do I have that eternal life, that I might come into the will of Christ, which is in the will of the Father? And we have that answer in verse 40 of chapter 6 of John. Any who believe on the Son will have eternal life, as Jesus says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And thus, if you are wondering, is Christ willing, you need to identify yourselves with the one whose will is identified with the Father and has given us a path and a way of access to him through faith in Jesus, his Son. How is this possible? That Christ came to take on our iniquities and our sorrows and our griefs. Isaiah 53 is a beautiful chapter to consider why Christ came into this world, and it was to bear our griefs and to carry our sorrows and to bear the sins of many. And Christ's miracles at this point are part of his work in bringing down the works of the devil in the arena of our sinful context. And the question is, are you looking to the one who bears iniquity? If you remain outside of Jesus Christ, you have a picture of your condition, and it is in the leper. One who is an outcast. Not just an outcast from the community of God's people, but an outcast from God if you remain outside of Christ. And you remain in your sins and you are condemned already. But you don't have to remain with where the masses remain, where the crowds remain, outside of Christ, looking in but not moving in toward him. But we have a picture in the leper that Christ is willing to receive sinners, to receive those who are unclean to himself. That is great hope for you, unbeliever, tonight, that you can go with all of your pollution, all of your sin, to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive grace and mercy. But there's also an encouragement here for you, dear believer, tonight, who is along the way in the path of pilgrimage. Perhaps somewhere you've lost sight of Christ. You're quite aware of your leprous condition with regard to sin, but somehow Christ is being lost for the crowd. Well, the word shows us a beautiful picture. You move in from the crowd to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, who receives leprous, unclean, polluted sinners to himself. This is the place of cleansing. This is the place of great hope. Perhaps you've forgotten what kind of priest the Lord Jesus is. One who was touched with our infirmities, yet without sin. One who knew no sin, yet was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The one who and upon whom was laid the iniquities of us all. Matthew Henry, paraphrasing him, had a wonderful thought with this. He said, Christ is a physician, does not need to be sought for, is always in the way, does not need to be urged, because while we are yet speaking, he hears. He does not need to be paid, he heals freely, not for price nor reward. This is a beautiful Savior that we have, one who has come into our context and receives us as we are. He's a great high priest and physician of souls. While Jesus makes servants of himself with his I will. And Jesus said to him, verse 4, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest. Offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And this brings us to our last consideration briefly, Jesus sending word. Jesus sending word. First, Jesus gives him a command. He says, those that Jesus heals from their sins become his subjects. That's the picture here. He becomes their ruler. The Lord Jesus gives three instructions in this verse to this man after he heals him, that he remain silent, that he go to the priest, and that he offer the gift that Moses commanded. Well, whatever Jesus' reasons were for not spreading the news of the miracle lies with Jesus himself. Perhaps it was not a seasonable time in his ministry, seeing how further multitudes were pressing in upon him. Interesting that the other gospel accounts in Mark and Luke, the man goes out and spreads the news. And in connection with this, Jesus had to depart into desert places. So perhaps it wasn't a good time for increased popularity in Jesus' ministry. We don't know. But what we do see is that great gratitude is shown to Jesus when we follow his healing with our obedience, when we walk in the way that he has outlined for us. In Christ, our healing is full, but so is our subjection to him. Both cannot be shortchanged. Both cannot be considered short of the mark. Christ does not hold anything back from us of that which he has promised us. He gives us complete healing. I will be clean. And by the same token, we are not to hold back anything from him in regards to our life, in regards to the obedience that he has commanded us. This is not legalism, people of God. This is obedience in response and gracious and great gratitude to Jesus' work in our life. But secondly, his commanding word shows us that he was the Messiah to come, and he came in power and might. Jesus did not come to overturn the law at the time, to be an outlaw, as it were, but he came to fulfill the law of God, as we know from chapter 5 of Matthew. He sends the cleansed leper back to the priests, according to the Old Testament law, which we considered earlier in the service. And he shows the priest, probably by this token, by this directive, that he, in fact, is the Messiah. And then this one was supposed to offer a gift to the priest as a token of his thankfulness to God for what God had done for him. The showing of the priest was to glorify God as to the examination of the leper. As Calvin noted, and the leper was to give a gift, was to show forth his thanksgiving and his gratitude. Now, the great irony here is that Jesus, who is coming to render obsolete, if you will, the Levitical priesthood, is sending him back to the priests to make a gift. The priests, through this, would be rendered without excuse at the time. They would have presented someone before them who was healed and was offering a gift according to the law. They will have been shown Christ's power at the time, which should have led them to worship him in response as well. Great irony that Jesus is coming in his death and resurrection to be the final high priest and to render obsolete the Levitical system should leave us with a simple question. How do we go to the priest after we have been healed? The answer is that we no longer return to the priest with a sacrifice of birds and so forth, but we go to our great high priest to sing his praises and to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. The psalmist says in 107, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Our response is to be one of gratitude, to be thankful for the mighty work in which the Lord has performed in bringing us out of the depths of our depravity and our sin and bringing us into a right standing with God in him. And the only response that we can have to that work is full-fledged servitude to the Lord Jesus Christ, offering ourselves as living sacrifices to the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, out of gratitude. As Romans talks about, it is our reasonable service in response to his grace. This account gives us great assurances that Jesus can be approached by those whose condition is unclean, whose condition renders them before God as outcasts, whose condition can only be healed by God, and a condition once healed and once removed that brings us now then into the kingdom of God. By nature, we are sinners. and we move forward in this life, committing all manner of sin out of that sin nature. And sin ultimately makes us unfit. Unfit to be in God's presence and in relationship with Him. But Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, receives sinners who come to Him by faith. And He is most willing to take Himself and our infirmities upon Himself to be our high priest and to pronounce us clean, to pronounce us those who have been washed, touches our unclean lives with His righteousness and His grace. And He renders us fit to live and serve in His kingdom. And that is the picture before us this evening. And the question is, are you in Christ tonight? And praise God for His work. And resort to Him time and time again for new cleansing from the pollution, defilement of sin. And if you are not in Christ tonight, you have a beautiful picture before you of how you can, as an unclean sinner as you are, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to approach Him empty, in faith, falling upon Him as a needy sinner in worship, and seeking His cleansing. You have this promise that He is a willing Savior who says, "I am willing, be cleansed." Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank You, O Lord, the beautiful picture that we have in Your Word, a willing Savior to deal with our defilement. O Lord, we thank You that He came into this world for that very purpose, to give His life as a ransom for many, to cleanse us and wash us in His blood, and to make us fit for heaven. O Lord God, we pray tonight that You would wash us afresh as we approach Your table this evening, that You would draw our eyes back to the Lord Jesus Christ, One who didn't come for those who are clean, for those who saw themselves as healthy and in need of nothing, but He came for those who confess themselves needy, confess themselves sinners. Oh Lord, He comes for us. We pray that You would indeed write these things upon our heart this night unto greater assurance of our faith, and that You would turn the hearts of those who stand outside, as it were, outside the camp. It would be led to be drawn in from the crowds to cling to Jesus as their only hope and as their only salvation, Malone. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This sermon was preached at Southside Reformed Presbyterian Church. If you would like more information about the church or to listen to more sermons preached here, visit our website at www.southsiderp.org. Thank you for listening.